Good morning. Good morning. I'm Pastor Bobby Nehara. Thank you so much for allowing me to come before you to present the Word of God. It's an honor and a privilege. This morning, our food for thought is actually a four-letter word. Before you get all excited, we're double G-rated here at this church. Everything we do, we want to glorify God. But the word is spelled W-O-R-K. Now, some of you guys, that invokes a reaction. Work, you know, where it's Labor Day. I don't want to talk about work. You know, it's the Lord's Day. Who wants to talk about work on the Lord's Day? You know, but maybe some of you here are saying to yourself, man, I wish this holiday was over. I want to go back to work on Tuesday. Now, not too many probably have done that, right? Okay. Well, the Bible does talk about work, but mainly we want to look at it in the context of the works of the Lord. So Ephesians, not Ephesians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, I'm going to read that to you. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. As many in my family can attest, that was a common verse that was spoken because they questioned me, Dad, why do you got to go to work? And I say, well, because the Bible says if a man don't work, he don't eat and his family don't eat. So then they say, see you, Dad. See you, Dad. Yeah. And in order to delve into this subject of the works of the Lord a little deeper, we need to understand, excuse me, let me take this off, nervousness. We must first understand even why we're here in this church this morning. There's a lot of other things you guys could be doing. You know, football hasn't started yet, but it's close by. There's a lot of other things. Maybe you're here this morning because you're married and your wife was elbowing you, telling you to get up, and your ribs started to hurt, so you popped up. You said, I might as well go to church. Ribs are hurting anyway. Some of you kids are here because your parents said, you're going to church. I did the same thing in my household. I said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As long as you live in this house, you're going to church. Right? Amen, son? Amen. The fact is that you're here, though. And if you're here, you're here for a reason. God wants to speak to you. God has a message for you and for me this morning. The word fellowship that was spoken, word fellowship is a nice and fuzzy word. And the reason I say that is that we are created for fellowship with God. And if you take it just at the surface, you would say, oh, that's a nice fuzzy word. You know, hey, maybe when we get a chance, we could fellowship together. You know, we're not so busy. We'll spend a little time in fellowship. But that's not what it means. It's not what it means at all. The fact is that God wants an intimate love relationship with each of you, with me. When we fellowship with God, it's for the purpose of having this intimate love relationship with Him. He created us for that fact. We are His created beings. Think about it. If we have an intimate love relationship with God, God said that there's a relationship here on this earth that resembles that relationship with Him. And that's the love between a relationship of a man and a woman. That's an intimate relationship. I've been blessed to be married 35 years to my wife, Lupe. Amen. She's a saint. She knows me better than anybody in this entire world. Other than God, she knows me better than anybody else. That's an intimate relationship. That's what God wants with you. That's what God wants with me. An intimate love relationship. That's what He wants. He made us for that reason. He made us for that reason. Let's pick up the action with God when He first made us. because you'll see there that that's what the purpose of him making us was for that reason. This is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. Our sister Wendy Scott did a great presentation on creation versus evolution a couple Thursdays ago. And I just want to touch on this fact here, that God created us special and for a reason and a purpose. He has a plan for us. Our lives are to bring glory, honor, and praise unto God in order that He would be lifted up and all men, women, and children would be saved. That's why He made us. This is how God looks at us, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. Reading there, he says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so." Verse 25. "And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." I love that when God uses that. God saw that it was good. I like it. In one of the movies, they say it was real good. Real good. Verse 26. "And then God said, let us make man in our image," our image, "according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God gave it to man, dominion, rulership. Man messed it up. So God created man in his own image. God created man in his image. You weren't an accident. You're not an ooze that just all of a sudden came up. You were created with a purpose and a design for a reason. God desired to have this love relationship with you and me, that we would have that love would spur us on to do his works for his glory. This world is sick and dying, and they need us to be the light for him. I don't know why he chooses to do that. We're not perfect, amen? Ask my wife. Ask my kids, they're here too, but after the service. We're not perfect, but God chooses to use us anyway. He loves us. Verse 28, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food." Verse 30, "And also to every bird of the earth, every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that it was made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Pastor David Jeremiah has this quote. He says this, "Unlike the rest of creation, women and men are made in God's image and are thus able to reason, create, commune, and commune with their Creator." Think about it. What dog can talk to God? Or can an elephant create anything? We're the only creatures that God made with that intelligence and design to be like Him, that we could impact this world and have rule in this world. But it's up to us to choose how we're going to do that. We represent God on this earth. What an awesome responsibility and a privilege we have to be His representation on this earth. There's a problem. We used to say this saying, "Houston, we got a problem." Now we really do have a problem over there. The problem was sin. Sin. The fall. Prior to the fall, man had an intimate love relationship with their Creator, God. They were naked and not ashamed, according to Genesis 2:25. In that environment, that greenhouse, they didn't need clothes. There was no need. Everything was perfect. Everything was good. Man's job was to tend and keep the garden, according to Genesis 2:15. But God provided for their every need. Fruits and vegetables just grew up, and all man had to do was pick and eat. Wouldn't that be nice? Man, no cooking anymore, no cleaning. Everything was there, everything you need, just like heaven is. Everything you need is there. That's how God made us. That's what God wanted for us. God spent time with man. They knew God. They knew God's routine. In the cool of the day, they recognized that he was there. They recognized it, according to Genesis 3:8. They spent time with God. But of course, man blew it and disobeyed the Creator of all the universe. God gave man a few simple rules to follow. Wives, it's tough, huh? Man can't follow a few simple rules. God found that out right away, a few simple rules in Genesis 2:16 and 17. He says this, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden you may freely eat." Verse 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Pretty simple, it seems. That's exactly what happened. Man ate of the fruit, and God had to honor his word. Therefore, he kicked man out of the garden for his own good. Because if man had eaten from the tree of life, he would have been eternally separated from God. God knew that man was going to blow it. If Adam hadn't blown it, Bobby would have blew it, or you would have blew it. God had a plan already. Nothing catches God by surprise. He gave us a free will. A free will. We're not animals. Instincts and that, they operate by. We have a free will. He says, God said he's going to take care of the problem, the fall, the sin, and he was going to do it by what you see right there. What you see before you here. Communion. The sacrifice of his one and only Son, the perfect sacrifice, had to take place to restore us into this right relationship with him. If this was not necessary, well, then Christ didn't need to come. But it was absolutely necessary. There's nobody on this earth that has walked a perfect life but Jesus Christ. There's nobody that could have paid that price but Jesus Christ. That's why we sing these songs about Christ. He's everything we need. That song which we just said sang right now. Right? He really is. People, it's not just a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And God's plan was this right here before us, that he would restore us into this love relationship with him. He paid the price for our sin to restore us into right relationship with God. If, like I said, if we could have did it, he wouldn't have had to come. Romans tells us why he had to do it. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Then he tells us there's a plan. "For the wages of sin is death." That's the penalty. That's what God said in that verse in Genesis, right? You're going to die. Right. He didn't die immediately, did he? He kicked him out of the garden. He died spiritually. His relationship with God was broken. Physically, he's still there. The earth was damned because of his action, because he had given him rulership over it, dominion over it, and because he chose to not do what God said, disobey, the earth is now in the turmoil we're in. That hurricane or that tropical storm wouldn't happen in God's world. It's because of the fall of man that these tragedies happen and these hardships that you're faced with happen. But God has a plan for us. He said this, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen? What a promise. How can he promise us that? John 3:16, you know it well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." That's God's statement to us, a promise to us, all those that walk on this earth, but they have to believe in him. 1 Peter 3:18, he says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." You see, the just for the unjust. You and I can't lay down our life for somebody to give them life eternal with God. Only Christ can do that. Only Christ did it. That's why this is here. That's why we're here this morning. 1 John 5, 11 says this, and this is a testimony that God has given us eternal life, and the life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Do you know this morning that you have eternal life? Are you walking around as though you have eternal life? Or are you walking around like, you know what? Life sucks. Because that's what happens. The enemy gets us to think like him and start reacting like him, and we forget who we are. He made us as His sons and daughters. We're special creation. But then we start thinking like him, and we start reacting like him, we forget that we have eternal life. We forget that we have the Holy Spirit in us. We forget that we have a purpose and a plan. God has a purpose and a plan for us. We forget all that because we're caught up in what's going on. And it's so hard. And I can't make it. But that's not what God says. That's why you read the Word, because what God says is the truth. It's not what the world says. It's not what you think. It's what God says that's the truth. And what does the truth do? It sets you free. Amen. It sets you free. Now, I could have ended right here. The story is good, right? God did all this for us. I'm glad to say this is not the end of the story, though. This is just the beginning of a love story between you and God. Some of you here are thinking, oh, shucks, I thought we were getting out early. You know, it's only a quarter after 10. But no, the story's starting to get good. It's starting to get good. With the understanding we now have, God has made us to have His intimate love relationship, amen? That God restored us into right relationship with Him through the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ, at the cross of Calvary. We understand that we are God's prized creation, that we were the only creature created in His image and in His likeness. Do we understand that this morning? Amen. God made us for a purpose and a plan, a loving, intelligent design. What a God. It baffles my mind. Why would He even consider me? You know, what a love, huh? What a love. You've got to understand the heart of God. We're here because He did all this, but we're here for a greater purpose as well, because that's just the beginning of the love story. We're here because if you understand His heart, you know that He's driven, His motivation is love. It's love. The Bible says it. I'm going to hit you with a few scriptures. I want you to write them down if you can. These scriptures are referencing to you who God is. That the engine that makes God go is love. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That was 1 John 4:7. And then following verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If there's a whole lot of no love coming out of you, you ought to question where your relationship is with God. Because God is love. And that love is to be pouring forth out of you and out of me. You know, we're going to trip up and we're going to do the wrong things and say the wrong things. Like I said earlier, my wife knows and my kids know better than any of you in here know. But my motivation and my desire is to please God and to do His will. I'm not satisfied with being who I am. I want to be like Him. Verse 10 of 1 John 4. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the substitute for our sins. He took our sins to that cross because we couldn't do it. That was the depth of His love for us. That's why communion is here this morning. Gospel of John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus Christ did that. I read a story about some of the things that's going on in Houston right now. And these gentlemen had a little skiff that they were out, and they were out to rescue people. They had a couple people, reporters with them, and they hit an underground line of some type. They fell off, and the two brothers lost their lives, attempting to do good for others. You know, but at least they made the attempt. And God willing, if they knew God, we know where they are. But, you know, laying down one's life for a friend, that's what Jesus Christ did. He says, that's the kind of love that motivates God. That's who God is. John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. What is God? God is love. God is love. God wants an intimate love relationship with you. That's all he wants. He hasn't asked more of you than what you can do or take part in. All he wants is this love relationship with you and me. Because from that love relationship, it's going to pour forth all that he wants to accomplish. It's going to pour forth. What's the greatest commandment according to Jesus? Matthew, that's right, Matthew 22:36. They asked him this, and they said, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." Who said this? Jesus said it. That's it, guys. That's what we're to do. From that's going to pour forth what God wants us to do for his glory. This is the first and great commandment, Jesus said. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. God wants an intimate love relationship with you. That's why we are here this morning. If you name the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then God is your loving Father. You are adopted into his family. Welcome to the family. What a family. What parent doesn't want the best for their children? That's a messed up parent. What parent doesn't want to see their children succeed, be successful, and have impact upon this world? So, duh to us, we as believers, if we limit our God, he is our Father, right? Does he not want us to succeed? Does he not want us to flourish? Does he not want us to impact this world? Yeah. He's the best father anybody could have. Amen. But it comes from that relationship with him. It comes from this love relationship with him. That's where it starts. When you received Christ, when you got saved, it was just the beginning of your new life. The Heavenly Father has a purpose and a plan for your life, but it's up to you to work it out. God said this through Paul to the Philippian believers. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." You see here that Paul was saying he had started this church there. And he was encouraging the believers. But he said, you know what? Just when you're in church, don't act like you're Christians. Don't let it be limited to right here. He says, my absence, I want you to work out your salvation. Your salvation is already secure in Christ. But working out your salvation is him working himself in you. You're becoming like Christ. That's what he desires you to be. Paul wanted these believers to be doing what he has for them to do because he's working Christ in them, and Christ has got to get out. The love of Christ has got to get out. When he's pouring in, it's got to come out. And that's what Paul is asking them to do. He says, this is serious. You got to do this with fear and trembling. This is serious. Seek after God. As for hidden treasure, you got to seek after him. You're going to find him. He's going to make himself known to you. He ain't trying to hide from you. He's up front. Come. Knock. Open the door. And I'll sup with you. Right? You're saved because somebody else shared the gospel with you. Somebody's light was shining around you. Somebody touched you with the love of God. That's why you're saved. That's why you're here. If you don't know the Lord, you're here because somebody brought you or somebody said something to you. That's what we're here. That's what our life is about. It's about Him. It's not about us anymore. Your Heavenly Father created you unique with gifts, abilities, and talents that He wants us to further His kingdom here on this earth. Now you look around. There's not any one person here that is alike. Even my children don't look exactly like me. Don't act exactly like me, thank God. Don't do the same things I do. We are so unique. God's given us these gifts, abilities, and talents. Then He said, you know what? I'm going to leave, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to take all that I made you, and He's going to make it work together. He's going to have you impact lives like you can't believe. Because it's His work. He made us for His workmanship, right? It's God's desire that none should perish, but that all should come to saving knowledge. He says that in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's desire. He made mankind. He made everyone. Everyone is unique. He wants them all to come to know and love Him. He's given them all purpose. And He says in Romans that creation is speaking out about Him. And you know what? You're without excuse. It's all talking about Him. And you're without excuse if you don't receive who He is and what He's done for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. He saved you for a purpose. What are your marching orders? You're in God's army now. He's the general in charge. See, you shouldn't just be sitting here because He saved you. You're sitting here because you want to be recharged, you want to be revitalized, and you want to go. And you want to do what God has for you to do in love. It's got to be driven by love because that's what God is love. It's not because you thought, oh, that's a good idea. No, it's because God's driven you. God has compelled you to do what you're doing. But you got to be seeking. You got to be looking to see what He has for you to do. Work. That's the title of this message. Works. The works of God. Scripture God gave us for our vision statement here at Horizon North Park sums up the purpose very well. It's 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15 says this, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." You see, it's that love of God. That's who God is. It's the love of God that compels us to do what? To no longer live for ourselves, but to live for Him. If all you're doing is thinking about yourself and what you want and where you're going and what you're going to do, and you're sitting here, you're in direct contradiction to what God's called you to be and to do. God's called us to not live for ourselves no more. We're to live for Him. And it's the love of God that should be driving you. It's not a have to things. It's I want to. Because God has poured out so much love in me that I can't, I got to give it away. I got the can't help it, my prayer partner says. I can't help it. I can't help it. You got to do it. God has given each of us the tools we need in order to help others. He's given us the tools. When I was a firefighter, I was a firefighter for 31 years. I would work on this truck. If you've seen them out there, it's a big, big truck. It has a big ladder on top. They call it the ladder truck. What you don't know is that inside that truck is all kinds of tools, specialty tools that we were trained on and that we went out and practiced with so that if any of you were in problem and ran into a problem and you needed help, we could reach into this box of tools, this whole truck of tools, and we could pull out something to help you. You know what? Because we were trained, because I had experience at it, doing it, I never felt like I was going to be overwhelmed if I came upon any kind of incident. I always felt like, you know what, I had what I needed, and plus I had Jesus Christ in my life, that we could figure out what we needed to do to help those people. It's the same thing with us as Christians. God didn't say, okay, now you're saved. All right, now figure it out yourself. No, he said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to bring to light everything I've spoken to you. He's going to give you understanding for what you need to understand. And then he's given us so many other things. He's given us the gifts of the Spirit, amen? He talks about it in 1 Corinthians, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13. You look at those. All throughout the Bible, he talks about these gifts that God has given for the furtherance of the gospel, for God to be lifted up. Not only that, he says, you know what? I've given you some fruit. There's some fruit in you that's going to impact this world. He talks about it in Ephesians, Galatians, about the fruit that he wants to see pour forth from your life. Which one? Any of you guys in here own or have a fruit tree in your backyard? Pastor Danny does. Pastor Danny, you ever see that tree straining to give you fruit? You don't see it happening, right? But you know what? God wants to see fruit coming from your life. This fruit, if you read it in Galatians, he talks about patience, love, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness. All these things that just don't come naturally, right? Selfishness does. If you read on beyond that, he talks about all the things that come naturally in this body. But he has this fruit that he wants to pour forth from your life. You don't have to produce it. It's the Holy Spirit's fruit. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. He works this fruit by the trials and tribulations that you have in your life. I know you don't like it, but that's how he works it, right? He's working it, and then he's making you more patient. He's helping you to see things like you've never seen it before. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 3 says this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, His divine power has given us to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. We have everything we need for life and godliness, he says. Jesus said he would never leave us. He would not leave us as orphans, but he would give us the Holy Spirit working in us and through us, according to John chapter 14. Think about it. Orphan. An orphan has no parents. Amen? No parents. You're not an orphan. You got a father. You're not an orphan. You're not alone. You got the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Jesus Christ interceding for you. You're not an orphan. You don't have to figure it all out. An orphan has to figure it out. Has to get some help from somebody. It's just a kid, a child, maybe an infant. Somebody has to help. God said, I'm leaving you as orphans. I gave you all that you need for life and godliness. Now go and do it. Like I said, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, it's all of the Spirit in you, through you. Even when I was working as a firefighter, I didn't make the tools. I was taught how to utilize the tools. I didn't have to go make them. They were there. I just had to use them. And that's what God is saying. These gifts of the Spirit. You don't have to make it. You just figure out who God has given you and use it. Go to work. This gift of administration. Man, that's a gift to be able to do that. Prayer. That's a gift from God to intercede for people and have heart of compassion to intercede for people. That's a gift. What has God given to you to be used for His glory? We're just the instruments, just as I was as a firefighter. That wasn't it. I grabbed the tool, we went and used the instrument, and we helped the people. And that's all you are. You're the instruments of God. But He already loves you. You know He made you for a purpose and a reason. And so you're His instrument. Go to work. Go to work. We as believers are blessed instruments that God chooses to use for His glory, to further His kingdom. It's His work, but we are the instrument He chooses to use. Matthew 5:16 says this, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's it. It's all about glorifying Him. Remember, you're not living for yourself no more. You're living for Him. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What works are we talking about? John 6:29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him who sent me. This is the work of God, that you believe. Number one work is that you believe. You believe all that He's done. You believe that He created you. You believe that He's given you the Spirit. You believe that He's given you the tools to do it. Number one is you believe. And then allow Him to pour His love into you by believing He's going to do it. John 6:40 says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The work of God is that the gospel is being shared forth through your life. God wants to love you. He wants to love on you so that you love on Him, so that He shines forth through you in everything you do. That's His work. John 9:3 says this. Gospel. John 9:3 says, Jesus answered, neither this man nor this parents sinned, but the works of God should be revealed in him. Remember, this is the blind man that Jesus healed. Verse 4 says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. This is Jesus talking. He said he's doing the works of God. He said that as long as it's day, I'm going to be busy working for God. As long as it's day, as long as we got breath, we're to be busy working for God. If that was Jesus' attitude and his motivation is to love God and to do his work, that should be ours. Isn't he our example? He's our example. This was Jesus' attitude. What do you think about life? What do you think our life should be about? Matthew 20:28 says this. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. In Mark 9:35, he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and the servant of all. Jesus is our example. We need to be doing the work until he comes or until God takes us home. Amen. Matthew 25:34, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you blessed in my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. 35. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. It's not, it doesn't have to be flamboyant. It doesn't have to be big. It's simple little things. A phone call, a visit, a meal, prayer, share the word. Simple little things, Jesus is saying. A cup of water over there in Houston. They're starving. They need food. They need water. They need shelter. They don't need a new bike and a new car. Right now, they're just trying to survive. And that's what we're to do. We're to give the people around us what they need. They need Jesus. And he comes in all kinds of forms. As he said right here, this is him speaking. He comes in the form of water. He comes in the form of bread. He comes in the form of shelter. He comes in the form of a visit. That's how he manifests himself through you. Don't we know that we're the most blessed people upon this earth? We are the most blessed people upon this earth. We know that God of all the universe made us so that we would have an intimate love relationship with him for eternity. We know that sin separated us from God, but we know that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have been restored to a right relationship with God. We know that it gives God great pleasure for us to use us, his sons and daughters, to let the whole world know about his son, Jesus Christ, so that the world might be saved. These are things we know. May the love of God compel us to do the work of God for his glory. Amen? All right. We're here because God wants you to have an intimate love relationship with him. We've established that fact. Can you honestly say that you know him as your Lord and Savior? Can you honestly say that you're doing the work of God that he wants you to do? I want you to reflect on that. If you want to have an intimate love relationship with God, or if you want to rededicate your life to doing the works of God, then repeat after me this short prayer. If you guys want to close your eyes, I want you to pray after me. If God has been speaking to you and this is in your heart, you're saying, you know what, God, I've been sitting here, but I haven't been doing what you have for me to do. Lord, I don't have this relationship, love relationship with you that he's talking about. I want that love relationship. Maybe you never asked Christ into your life before, and you're saying, you know what, I want to know Christ as my Lord and Savior. Then repeat after me this prayer. Dear Lord, I realize now that I'm a sinner, and I need you to save me from my sin. Please forgive me of all my sins, and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Lord, I offer you up my life as a living sacrifice. Direct my life as you so desire. Lord, give me your Holy Spirit as you promised you would. Help me to live this new life in Christ. Dear God, thank you for loving me and dying for me. I want to love you and serve you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. If you prayed that prayer as renewal of your commitment to God or for the first time to receive him as your Lord and Savior, please come up after the service because we want to pray with you. We want to be a part of what God's going to do in and through you in your life. In obedience to God, we now want to take this time to remember all that Christ has done for us through the cross of Calvary so that we could be restored back into a loving relationship with our Creator. So we have communion here. I'm going to read this to you. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That's what we're doing here this morning. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And that's what we're doing. We're proclaiming this loving sacrifice that Christ did for us this morning through this bread and through this juice. Verse 27, 1 Corinthians 11:27. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." If you don't know Christ, you're accountable for what we've talked about this morning. And you're without excuse. So don't come and receive unless you have Christ in your heart and he's made the impact upon your life. Last verse, 28. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup."